Last Sunday, we talked about seeking after God's righteousness. And we had come from our theme scripture, Matthew chapter 6, verses 33, when it says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you." And we were looking at seeking God's kingdom. Most people talk about that in its sense, in the sense of, "Oh, I'm seeking God's kingdom, his reign, his rule, his plan, and his way of doing things." But then we get to his righteousness. And one of the first point we made mention of, who is authorized to determine what is right? We live in a world where people are calling right wrong and calling wrong right. We have troubles figuring out what bathroom we should go to now. We have laws being passed that it used to be, you know, when you look, for those of you all, if this is offensive to you, I'm not apologizing. Because it's to the point that somebody needs to say something again to bring us back to a correct compass, a correct moral compass. It is an absolute shame. Literally, when abortion was started, the thought process that they moved behind was, we only want to abort babies that the mother, her life may be in danger, or it may be a circumstance where the baby, something is jeopardizing the life of someone. And it was embraced by people because, oh, that sounds medically appropriate. But how is it that here we are in 2019, and a sitting senator can tell you that a baby will be born, the mother and doctors will discuss the born baby who's on the table, and we will decide if we want to kill it or not? Okay, so my question is, what is murder now? What is right and wrong anymore? But wait a minute. What about the day when they look at you and they say, "Well, you know what? We ran a few tests on you and we see that there's an imperfection in your body. I think right now we should end your life. You can't contribute the way you once could." So are we embracing that as well? Because what's the difference between saying this baby that's born in the world who cannot speak for itself, but is lying at the mercy of a doctor and all the medical jargon they'll use to convince this mother that that's not really a baby that needs to live?
Jesus.
You live in that day. That's not something that's coming. That's not in another country. That's right now, right here. And every one of our tax dollars fund that. Now, you could sit and think that I need to vote Democrat and I need to vote Republican and all of that. No, you need to vote biblical. If you stand for what's against, if you stand for what God is for, then vote for what God is for. If you stand against what God is against, then you're going to vote what God is against. Stop allowing people to put you in a party. You're called to a higher court. Don't you know the Bible says, "Know ye not that you'll judge angels?" Amen. See, this is getting back to righteousness. Yes, sir. Because the word righteousness, actually one of the words is rightness. What is the right thing in God's sight?
Amen.
Ladies, please don't get sucked into this thing when they're telling you, "Well, I have a right to decide with my body." Okay, well, let's see. Did God ever address that? He says your body is not your own. He says you've been bought with a price. So when did you buy yourself back? See, we're caught up in a political sandstorm. It's blinding people. This is my interlude. You know, we can just take a little break before we, you know, get in. I was looking at this. June 1st, 1980. Something happened June 1st, 1980. They decided that they would do 24-hour news. People said that had never worked. The company, CNN. Cable News Network, Ted Turner. Most people get their news from that now. That was June 1st, 1980. That ain't gonna work. Well, we know it works. November 9th, 2018. The Chinese launched the first AI news anchor. Wow. Now, let me interpret some of you all what I'm saying. Because you're going like, what? It is a computer-generated news anchor that is artificial intelligence. It mimics, one is a male and one is a female. Now watch this. So what's the big deal? They can feed 24-hour news. You don't need a person. We're setting up for, now, in the United States, basically six organizations or six entities control all the news you get. So what if we decide to do artificial intelligence news anchors and we could feed those news anchors what we want them to have? So the news you get comes from artificial intelligence that has an algorithm programmed for what we want you to know. What disturbs me is these things are happening while you and I are just saying, you know what, if I could just make a little bit more money. It seems like the strategy, Dr. Hall, is to occupy us with just trying to survive while we're being manipulated at a far higher level. So if I could bring the price of gas up, price of food up, make you have to work longer hours, let you come home and watch your whole Netflix subscription in a night. Because after all, you're so tired that you don't want to think. And then, we just push a button and do repeat all over again. While at a higher level, things are being done that simply manipulate you into a position of becoming a slave. I'm saying all of this, and I do this periodically because we keep thinking that the Antichrist and all of that is so far off. I hope that you don't keep thinking that. I try to just, every once in a while, just drop a little bit of something to make you think a little bit. Because I believe in providing biblical solutions to everyday problems. All right, let's go. Solution time now. Problem is there. It's just amazing when the problem is there, we don't even know it. That's what bothers me. That's what really gets me. So we don't know what's going on. We don't know it's a problem. Because we just keeping our, head to the grindstone and don't recognize. What are you saying, Pastor? Don't work? No, that ain't what I'm saying. I'm saying, when do you stop and really look at what's going on? When do you really go like, why is this like this? What's happening? Do you ask any questions anymore? It is, society is getting, watch this. Let me do this and I'm going to go in here for real. What society is doing is robbing people of becoming critical thinkers. You won't ask questions. You'll just take everything as face value. Oh, it was on the TV. Because everything is real. It's on TV. It's on the internet. You know it's got to be true. It was on the internet. So that's what we're becoming. So if I feed you the information and convince you it's real by feeding it to you in different venues, then after all, you're going to respond to it. You no longer will ask questions. So I just want you to know, don't stop asking questions. Amen. Stay inquisitive. So, I want to talk to you again on the subject, seeking after God's righteousness. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Probably the most dominant desires that we have as human beings is hunger and thirst. It's amazing that Jesus tells us if we use our two most dominant desires for righteousness, we will be satisfied. That's what the word filled means. Okay. Have you ever, I think about every once in a while this happens to me. I get a taste for something. It's a taste for the specific something. Yeah. Like, okay, let me help you. I get this taste sometimes for pecan pie. Okay, don't think that I eat pecan pie all the time. But I get this taste for pecan pie. And it's a certain taste that registers in my mind. And I can go to the store or somebody have one, and it look exactly what's in my mind. Yes. It's right off the page of that Better Home and Gardens book with the recipes. I mean, you know what I'm saying? It looked perfect. And you put it in the microwave and you take it out, you got that piece of ice cream right there. It's balanced just right. Right up. The right amount of ice cream with the right amount of pie. So this has all been calculated. And then you take that fork and you break off into that piece of pie, and it's en route. And you're registering all of these hormones and stuff. Things are happening because you know it's about to explode on the inside. I mean, because you have a taste for this. You put that piece of pie in your mouth, and you waiting on what's registering in your mind to connect with what's in your mouth. But there's a disconnect. The pie didn't taste like what I had in my mind. It looked like it was store-bought. Somebody didn't, it wasn't no elbow in there. It looked the part. So watch this. So I had the hunger or the thirst for the thing, but I wasn't filled. I wasn't satisfied. There are a lot of people going through life with the hunger and the thirst, and they're using other things and not being filled. They're not getting satisfied. Look at this. Point number one. True fulfillment is only found in God's righteousness. So I'm talking about solutions now. Biblical solutions. We already looked at what the problems are. But true fulfillment is only found in God's righteousness. Ecclesiastes 5 and 10 in the King James. Ecclesiastes 5 and 10. He that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundance with increase. This is also vanity. Now, many of us, hold on for a second. Many of us think that if we had all the money in the world, we would be better off. If we had all the this or all the that. So wait a minute. Let me do something for you. When you begin to feel that way, Go to the book of Ecclesiastes and read. Because here is a man that God allowed to have everything. Here is a man that God allowed to have everything so he could tell everybody everything does not satisfy. He did this to help you to stop thinking that if you climb the corporate ladder to the highest height, everything gonna be all right. He told you this from the building that the ladder was propped on. So now you have someone who could give you firsthand knowledge. Well, if I could just get, boy, if I get the right woman, my life gonna be straight. If I get the right man, my life gonna be straight. Well, here's a man with over 700 concubines. Oh, I'm gonna make sure you get the real picture. Solomon had wives galore. And if you read, okay, I'm going to really just go there for a moment. He had some of them wild women. You know, you. There's the woman, you know, that you want to take home to your mama. You say, you know, that this is who I'm seeing. But then there's them. Well, y'all can sit here and look crazy if you want to. Okay, sisters, hold on. Some of them women was like, you know how the sisters, they the nice guy. Well, I don't want him. You them bad boys you want. Some of them women was the bad ones. I mean, they just some bad women. And the Bible says that they stole his heart. Took his heart from serving God. So all of that stuff, look at her. Look at him. Girl, he tall, dark, and heavy. Look at this. Look at that wavy hair he got. Yeah, all of that stuff. Look at all of that. Stole his heart. I'm just saying, whenever you feel like that, there's a book for you to read. From somebody that's been there, done that. Solomon said, I'm going to plant me vineyards. He got into gardening. Everything else was falling apart. He decided to do gardening. See, that don't even satisfy. So I'm going to build me stuff. Folk into like, well, let me put this building, slap my name on it. Then there's somebody that know that I'm somebody. Solomon done all of that. His temple, you can't even hardly find it now. All of that. There is a book for you to read if you feel like if I just had this, life would be better. So, true fulfillment is only in God's righteousness. Now, I know I'm sharing this. I know you're hearing this. But whether you believe it or not is different. Because you will be tempted to get up and go out of here and go back to a routine of you trying to get or trying to do this and trying to get that and try and find yourself another 5 years gone in your life. Well, you realize this stuff don't matter. I've wasted 5 more years or 10 more years or whatever people do. But true fulfillment is only in God's righteousness. Look at Proverbs 27 and 20. Proverbs 27 and 20. Hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of man are never satisfied. I was looking. I was looking at something on TV the other day, and I think like this. I just think a little different. Miss Leslie, I said this. I said, "Where's all the new cars at? They didn't sell them all." I mean, you know, I'm like, I should be able to get a great deal on, like, you know, this is just me. I know y'all, you know, y'all gotta have the latest and the greatest, but I'm like, man, I should be able to find me like a 2015 something, brand new, no miles, ain't nobody even drove it. Because they ain't sell all of them. I'm just saying that's the way I think. I know you got to have the latest and greatest. No problem. Well, I'm sitting there looking at this, and I'm thinking about this. And they show, now watch this. Let me show you how the eyes of man are never satisfied. They showed what they do with the vehicles. They have old abandoned airports that they take the new cars that don't sell and they park them there. The price of the new vehicle includes the price of putting those in the graveyard.
Oh my goodness.
Now, is that not stupid? Well, you got people like me saying, I'll buy it. Because I ain't going to pay that full price for it. Brand new. Brand new, Ken. And they keep rolling the new ones off the lot. Rolling them out there. Because I say, I know they ain't selling all them cars. I know they're not. Because the eyes of man are never satisfied. You know what? And I hear something else for you. I mean, I'm just saying, this is me. I sit and I watch. I says, bicycles. When's the last change that was made in bicycles? All they do is change the colors. It's two wheels and pedals. I mean, come on. All they do is change the colors. So I need to buy. You're telling me that I need to go buy an $800 bicycle. And it's no different than the one last year, except you changed the color. The eyes of man are never satisfied. Okay, I know y'all saying, I ain't in them cars. I ain't in the bicycle. Let's talk clothes for a moment. So I can get the same fabric and stitch somebody's name on it, and it's worth more now. Well, no. It's not the same quality. Really? So when are you a quality inspector? No, you just didn't see the name brand on there. Because you needed to see the name brand to make you feel good. The eyes of man are never satisfied. Okay. I'm going to turn this way. We got to make extra room in our closets for stuff. You ain't got to look at me. You can just drop your head right now. Nobody know. Nobody know we talking about you. It's all right. Got to make extra room because we weren't satisfied. I ain't got every color dress yet. I need a suit for every color. What is it about us? See, the eyes of man are never satisfied. I mean, some of us, can you walk past the store without spending that? I mean, just can't you? I mean, is it a, girl, I ain't going, I can't get out and go up in there. No, Holy Ghost is going to have to restrain me. Why are you like a criminal? Just to go past the store. See, what is this? What is this inner satisfaction that we're missing? That's being, it's like eating junk food and not getting full. Well, y'all just stick with me a little bit. Y'all give me a little time today. Proverbs 10 and 24. See, a lot of people's appetite is birthed from a desire to stop the pain or the longing that's on the inside of them. Because it's coming from a place of emptiness. People are longing for stuff. Listen, okay, most of the little kids gone, right? You know what? Folk ain't sleeping with everybody because they just, you know, man, I couldn't wait to do that. So, you know what? There's a longing. There's a pain in people. They sleeping with people, but they're doing it to connect because the longing they desire is a connection. But they think connecting with the person is going to fulfill it. It's not. The longing is a connection with God. And because you're not connecting with him, you're still not satisfied. You think the drug epidemic we have is because people want to just take drugs? America has more prescription drugs than any other nation on the planet. And we're supposed to be the happy people. After all, it's a democracy. Liberty for the people. We some drug addicts. For real. Pharmacies everywhere. You know it as well as I do. You go home at 4 o'clock, cut your TV on. From 4 o'clock to about 9 o'clock, ain't nothing but commercials for all of the pharmacy stuff for every pain that you got. Because they know that's when people get home after work and start watching TV. Because now, watch this, nothing is to solve the problem. It's just to deal with the symptom. See, this is all of this. Because the true satisfaction, the true fulfillment only comes from the righteousness of God. Amen. And everything else we're longing after, we're going after, we're pulling on, we're at all of this, and this energy that's wasted. I'm going somewhere if you give me a little time. See, some things are done to soothe the pain more than to achieve the pleasure. It's not so much that I'm getting pleasure from it, it's that it medicates the pain. The Bible says in Proverbs 10 and 24, is that where I'm at? The fear of the wicked, it shall come upon him, but the desire of the righteous shall be granted. The desire of the righteous shall be granted. This is not God being a genie in the bottle that you rub when you're ready, though. God, give me what I want. Woo! No, it don't work out like that. What it's saying is the desire of the righteous shall be granted. In other words, it's righteousness that leads to satisfaction. Amen. See, that's why Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these other things, they're going to be added. Because now you're really satisfied because you're seeking the right thing. Psalms 5 and 12. I'm still on point one. True fulfillment comes from God's righteousness. Psalms 5 and 12. For thou, Lord, wilt bless the righteous. With favor wilt thou compass him as with a shield. See, favor is a byproduct of God's righteousness. Listen to me. Favor is a byproduct of God's righteousness. We got people talking about seeking the favor of God. Why don't you seek his righteousness? Favor is a byproduct of that. It says he's going to compass you with favor like a shield. He's going to surround you with favor. Because you're righteous. Remember, righteousness is rightness. It's the way it ought to be with you and God. See, what we fail to understand is we make righteousness a religious term. What did God intend our relationship to be? That's righteousness. Because we rightly related now. See, man inherently is born with a wrong relationship. Or no relationship. God didn't intend it to be that way, so now righteousness is us rightly relating to God. It's the rightness now. And Jesus is saying, seek that rightness with God. Not all of this other foolishness. And everything else out here that you were thinking about, oh, we'll add that to you. See, really, and I don't have the time to do with this today, but the Lord bless us to have time in the future. I will. I'm looking at when Jesus first starts on the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, and he finishes up around chapter 7. You know, the whole deal, the challenge is this. Trust me and I take care of you. That's the real challenge. We're going to do a little bit of that today, but the real challenge is trust me and I'll take care of you, because in my kingdom, I take care of my subjects. But watch this. You were born outside of his kingdom. So you learned outside of his kingdom that you have to take care of you. So now you're born into his kingdom. And he says, wait a minute. I got this now. Look at what he says. Don't worry about what they eat. I'm all in front of my... We'll get to that. Let me finish this. Because that's the real challenge. So faith is a byproduct of God's righteousness. What do you have in life that you do not deserve and can't be linked to your abilities? Do you have the husband or the wife that you have because you deserve them? Because of your ability, you fine and you know it. So you know I was going to have a husband, or you know I was going to have a wife like this. I'm bad. I got it like that. What do you have in your life that you don't deserve, nor is it linked to your abilities? See, when you talk about favor, people can't even hardly describe how God has favored them, because they think everything came from them. Oh, I got a good job because I had a good education. Okay, so nothing to do. What about all the other educated people who got more education than you do but don't have the job you do? Why do we think everything is because of us? Who made you on the throne like that? Why do you have the family you do? Well, you know, I was born in a certain type of family, and they taught me how to. Yeah, okay. Like, ain't nobody else come from a good home and end up with a messed up life. See, why can't we step back for a moment and say, well, you know what? Maybe this ain't me. Maybe this has just been the favor of God on my life. See, early in the Old Testament, particularly, these guys didn't have a problem understanding what favor is like. Because David could understand, listen, I've dealt with a bear and a lion. But you know it was because of God. So the same God who delivered the bear and the lion. Wait a minute. But I don't remember the Bible saying that God came down and fought the bear and the lion. I remember the Bible saying David did. But David said, no, the same God who delivered me. See, they understood favor. We talk as though it's us. Look at this car I got. Look at this. Look at all of these. What is that? Anybody with credit can get what you got. Show me how you got it, and it wasn't because your credit jacked up to the roof. Okay, and show me how now your payments are less than theirs. Show it to me in a way where I got to go, man, only God could do that, because you know you really messed up. We scared to show people how messed up we are. We want them to see how good we look, because when you talk about favor, it shows how good God looks. That's what the real issue is. But that's rightness. That's real righteousness, where it's not about us. I can afford to look like, oh, well, he don't know nothing. He crazy anyway. That's fine. As long as you see God. So what do you have in your life that you don't deserve? You can't link it to your abilities. Psalms 34 and 15. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. So God's eyes and ears are on you when you're righteous. You want to be noticed by God? Seek his rightness. See, some of us want to be noticed, but it's not by God. Yeah, we have a desire for recognition, but not by God. We want people to recognize us. I don't want nobody to see me. Oh, yes, you do. Yes, you do. Look at what we wear. Look at what we drive. Look at where we live. want you to see me a certain way. All of us, nothing wrong with wanting to be successful, you all. But I hope that in our successful story, that somebody sees God in our life. That somebody see that my success is not because of me, but it's because of a God who has placed me here. Nothing wrong with your successful story. Why can't we tell a story that includes God's favor on our life? Some of us, if we had to stand up and recite our story, how much God would really be in it? I mean, if you were just going to really sit down, okay, I'm going to write my story so everybody can hear. I told you, I look at movies and I always think about the people who produce the movies. That this is the life that they produce. If they have God in their lives, you'll see God in their movie. So what movie are you producing? Let's keep going. Look at verse 16, Psalms 34 and 16. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. Righteousness is what sets us apart in the eyes of God. We are now right with God. Think about that. You are now right with God when you've accepted Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. When you're walking in a relationship with Jesus Christ, it makes you right with God. And I ain't even talking about you doing nothing. Verse 18 says, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Verse 19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Amen. Righteous people will experience trouble. Yes. Amen. Righteous people will experience trouble. Did I say that righteous people will experience trouble? But righteous people have a get out of trouble card. What do you mean, Pastor? Very simple. But the Lord delivers him out of them all. No matter how many of them there are, God will deliver you out of it. That's a benefit of being righteous. Not that you won't get in trouble, you're not going to stay there. Not that you won't get in trouble and not know how to get out of it, but you still ain't going to stay there. God handles that. See, that's the whole issue with walking in righteousness. It's not about us knowing everything. It's not about us being able to do everything. The rightness that we have with God makes God responsible now. Okay. I'm almost getting to number two, so I just want to make sure that we still at the fact that true fulfillment only comes from God's righteousness. You're not going to be satisfied nowhere else. Nobody else is going to ever be able to give you that level of satisfaction in your life. I can't look at that. I can't expect to get that from my wife. Can't expect to get that from my mama. You can't either. The true fulfillment you seek is only going to come from a right relationship with God. Now, I don't care what drug they bring out next. It's crazy stuff out there. I don't care what, you may see somebody, they find it in the moon to you. They're not going to satisfy like the rightness or the righteousness of God. And we have been deceived. Like I said, I watch TV with a different perspective. I just watch to see what's happening. What kind of like, how do they market stuff? Why is everything new and improved? So what was we getting before? What were they selling us before? Everything is new and improved. So they're saying, well, I was giving you garbage before, so this is new and improved. You got to have this. But you told me that before when I was using this. Oh, yeah, we were just kidding. So why? What makes me think you're not kidding now? Why do we keep falling for this? Okay. I'm just saying, I look at stuff and I just, this is where I see things. It's the rightness with God. Do you notice this? God has never had to improve his righteousness. He gave us the best from the beginning. No improvement necessary. Philippians chapter 3. Verse 8. New Living Translation. The Apostle Paul is talking. He says, yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I've discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage so that I can gain Christ. So here's a man with the equivalent of at least 3 to 4 doctorate degrees. Said, I've discarded it all, counted it as garbage. I just want to know Christ. Amen. See, nothing else can compare to the rightness of knowing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Look at verse 9. And become one with him. I no longer count on my own righteousness. See, there's sometimes our own righteousness. I did this, I did that. It's your own righteousness that you count on. He says, I no longer count on my own righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, I become righteous through faith in Christ. For God's way of making us right with himself depends on faith. God's way of making us right with himself depends on faith. God's way of making us right with himself depends on faith. The rightness that God requires can only come by trusting Jesus Christ. You want to be fulfilled? You got to have his righteousness. That's true fulfillment. If not, let me speak to you really, to your soul. That deep, longing hunger that you feel. I know right now we all in here and we don't want to talk about that, but the deep hunger, that thirst that's in your soul is a thirst and a hunger for God's righteousness. Nothing else will fulfill that. You will forever be dissatisfied. But nobody wants to talk about that. They want to medicate that. They want to sex it out. They want to drug it out. They want to do all of these other things. But I promise you, nothing is going to satisfy. And if you'll be honest and look at your life where you are, you have seen that everything else you have tried has come up short. Number two, seeking God's righteousness requires a different perspective. Now we're going to get into a little bit something here. Just give me a little time. Seeking God's righteousness requires a different perspective. What do you mean, Pastor? There's a reason when Jesus says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you. Okay, why ain't everybody jumping on that? Why ain't that like, wow, let's do that? It requires a different perspective. Amen. Listen to this. Matthew 10 and 39, New Living Translation. Here's the perspective. If you cling to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for me, you will find it. Wow. What a perspective. Jesus didn't mince words. Didn't leave room for misinterpretation. You gotta die. Pretty straightforward. You want this? Die. But Jesus knows he has the goods. And if you want to just stay hungry like that, then you're going to stay hungry. But if you want it, you got to die. So, see, we often attempt to hold on to our old way of life, and it's rooted in selfishness. Okay, wait. You say selfishness. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 3 and go to the garden for a moment. Now, let's in the midst of the garden, there comes in a snake. Okay, most of y'all see him crawling, but you probably need to see him walking. Better picture, okay? Because after he is to eat the dust of the earth, that must mean that he wasn't eating the dust before.
Come on now.
But we'll deal with that at another time, because that don't really matter for the sake of what we need to really talk about. So now, selfishness. Now, surely enough, we not talking to selfish people in here. But let's just go back to Genesis chapter 3 for a moment. So the snake is on the scene, and he is talking with Eve. Now, Eve has already been instructed that you can eat of every tree in the garden, except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So this is not new information. Eve knows this. Adam knows this. The snake knows this. But he comes in and he lets her know, if you were to eat of this, God knows you will be like God. So wait a minute. So God is holding back something from you. Uh-huh. It's what the picture he starts to paint.
That's right.
God is withholding something from you. Okay, and watch this. You deserve it. So it was rooted in selfishness because you felt that there was something more for you to get and you could get it outside of God. Fast forward 2019. People feel that there's more for them to get and they could get it outside of God. So it's still rooted in selfishness. So Jesus says, let me fix this so people can understand. If you hold on to your selfish life, you're going to lose it. But if you give up your selfish life for me, you're going to find it. Pretty plain. Okay, let's keep moving. Go with me to Matthew chapter 16, verse 23. New Living Translation. Matthew chapter 16, Peter has had a wonderful revelation. He has found a revelation. Jesus tells him, he says, flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. So he has a revelation of who Jesus Christ is. Just a few verses later, it's where we tap in. Matthew chapter 16, verse 23. He says, Jesus turned to Peter. After Peter said, Lord, we're not going to let you go into Jerusalem and die like that. That ain't going to happen. We're going to, no, Lord, the devil get out. No, Lord, we ain't letting that happen. Sometimes we think we can stop God's will. You know why? Because we don't like it. You know, okay, let's stop and think about this. This is what happens when Jesus tells you what's going to happen and it's something you don't like. So now you know why God don't tell you everything that's going to happen. Because this is what we would do. So Jesus turns to Peter and said, get away from me, Satan. You are a dangerous trap to me. You are seeing things merely from a human point of view, not from God's. This is why people do not pursue the kingdom agenda. What are you saying, Pastor? They are seeing things merely from a human point of view and not the kingdom. If we're not careful, we think about what we're going through. We don't know that what we're going through is perfecting us and it's creating a far greater reward. We ain't looking at that. It's all about what I'm going through. I don't like this. Stop it, Lord. Fix it. Deliver me right now in Jesus' name. That's the way we do it. And expect it. But see, the real cry is, I don't like it and how I feel. What? The real cry is, I'm selfish. See, okay. The perspective is primarily from a limited human or worldly viewpoint. That's why people say stupid stuff like, how can God be in control when people are suffering in the world? That ain't got nothing to do with God being in control. That's dealing with the evil and the sin that's in the world. The Bible says that God is long-suffering. And he's long-suffering or patient so that people can repent and come into the kingdom of God. In other words, he could have just said, you know what? This is enough. He said, you think the flood was bad? Watch this. But he says, no, I'm going to be long-suffering so the people will come into the knowledge of my son and accept him and now have a right relationship with me. That's the patience of God. If it was us, we'd have destroyed the planet a long time ago. Look at verse 24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if any of you wants to be my follower, this is all of us now. If any of you wants to be my follower, you must turn from your what? So see, Jesus know what the root is. Selfishness. And he says, turn from your selfish ways, take up your cross and follow me. Selfishness never leads to righteousness. Never. Verse 25. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. The path to God's righteousness always involves death. Okay, Jesus showed us first. We love to say he died on the cross. When the last time you died? Pastor, what are you talking about? You're tripping now, ain't you? Let's see. Well, that's why it's not popular when you talk about seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness. This is why this is not popular, you all.
That's right.
This is why people, they know it's in the book, but do it. You expect me to do that? You really want me to do what Jesus said do? Really? You really want me to seek the kingdom and his right? Really? Because now the perspective necessary is different. You got to die. That's why people don't want to do this. Self-preservation is in all of us. Don't nobody want to just die? I mean, that's why suicide is not natural. Let me tell you. Listen. Now, I'm not stupid. I'm not going to act like everybody in here. Ain't nobody in here tried it. What I'm saying to you is not natural. It is not natural for you or I to want to kill ourselves. I'm not saying we don't feel like it. But when we feel like it, if we feel like it, it's because we want to escape what's here. Not because it's natural. And see, that's what people don't talk about. It's an escape mechanism. Okay, if I go and I take some drugs because I want to, you know, well, back, you know, when folks used to get high, they said they want to get their head right. Well, what was happening was what you were trying to do was escape the reality that was present. Some of us don't woke up the next day in situations with sometimes different people in different situations, and we go like, wow, I really escaped the reality, but I'm back now. And now you got to deal with all of that. But what it was escapism. See, people are trying to escape different ways. That's what I'm telling you. Don't think that, oh, wow, I guess that was, we're looking at 13 ways. No, this stuff is stupid. They're putting it on TV to make you think it's normal. It's not normal. But now here we come, and Jesus says, okay, I want you to live, but give up your life. And we go like, oh, no, I can't do that. But people committing suicide left and right. First Corinthians chapter 13, I'm sorry, chapter 15, verse 31. The Apostle Paul says, I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord. I die daily. When the last time you died? See, this is what this is talking about, righteousness now. This is us seeking righteousness now. This is us seeking after God's righteousness, because now we got to die. And hello, it's not a one-time death. You woke up today, die today. Die to your way of doing things. Die to the selfishness of what you're getting, what you want all the time. Die. This is what we got to do. Now you see why we want, what? How come I just can't be saved? See, people, I mean, when you look at this is real Christianity. This is walking this out. I don't believe you were called to be here and just say, I'm just saved. Amen. Who's going to be, and like the Bible says, an instrument of righteousness? Allowing God to do something in you far beyond just, oh, well, they were saved. Not that being saved, there's nothing wrong with that. I'm just simply saying, I believe there's more, and that's why you're here. Amen. He didn't just save you and take you to heaven. So he wanted to do something with you here. Go. Okay, we're going to finish up with this. Give me a few minutes, please. New Living Translation, Matthew chapter 6, verse 31. I believe this is probably one of the most challenging pieces of scripture that there is, in the sense of when it gets to us personally. Because when you look at it, Jesus is let's just kind of slow walk through what Jesus is saying here. Now, you know, he's come through the Beatitudes, and he said all of these things. So Jesus says stuff like, you know, blessed are they that mourn. He talks about all of these things, all of these personal things. But now he begins, look at this. Let me just jump at this. So now he says, so don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? Everything he's talking about is just personal things. In other words, it's things that relate to us personally. And he says, don't worry about it. Now, we can act like we ain't worrying about what we eat, but okay, this has to do with how much income you have. Okay, let me help you. Okay, when there's extra money in your budget, you could eat somewhere else. When there's no extra money in your budget, so income determines where you eat. I just had to make sure we find everybody, okay? What will we drink? Okay, now all of these are the things that motivate us. Remember, hunger and thirst are the two highest desires of a human being.
Yes, 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 say
so. So Jesus says, don't worry about your two highest desires. The other thing, what are we going to wear? Okay, this is your status. You know, I need the people to see me a certain way. I ain't wearing that. I'm above that. You'll be surprised what we won't wear now. Some of us. Some of us, you could tell we ain't have stuff when we was growing up. We trying to make up for lost ground. I ain't saying it's bad. I mean, I'm just saying. This was just something. Like I said, I observed people. And I knew somebody, and I was like, I looked at them, and I looked at what they were like now. And I remember listening to them talk about their childhood. And I said, yeah, you making up a whole lot of lost time. And see, that's what I'm saying. You don't know what people are going through, what they're dealing with. Some of y'all didn't have shoes growing up. Know how I know? Your closet. That's what you did. You compensated for all of that now. I'm getting me some shoes. You're like, I want them. I'm getting them. And it don't matter that you already got some. It don't. Because now I'm compensated for what I didn't have. I'm not saying that that's bad. I'm just saying that we sometimes don't realize the message that we're giving off. Well, Pastor, what about you? My mama here. I don't know. Y'all have to talk to her. I'm good. I mean, I'm good. We ain't talking about me. We talking about you right now. Y'all get enough of me, see? Y'all get enough of me. So I know everybody looking at me now. No, my mama said I'm describing her. We did have a conversation, but she ain't the only one. I mean, we do that. We do that. As people, we do that. You know, I was looking at something in the book, in the Bible. It says the certain people had, you'll see them, it's like Samson. He went and killed, you know, some such and gave them X number of changes of clothes. And they'd be like, well, they gave him 5 changes of clothes. And that was a lot because it signified their status. Now look at us, how many changes of clothes we got. I knew a girl in high school, we couldn't wait to see her every day. Because she wore something new every day. Wow. High school. Wow. We would sit there going like, she ain't wore the same thing again. I mean, the whole, you know, high school. I still remember her to this day because of that. Maybe she don't have no clothes now because, you know, she done all of that in high school, so she got it all out of her system. I don't know. But we have, there are different things, you all. This is all part of us. But now what happens is if you're going to seek the righteousness of God, now you have to say, okay, I'm willing to lay aside whatever so that I can pursue his righteousness. Amen. Now, watch this. So I don't want you to think that, oh, you can't have no clothes, you can't have no shoes, whatever. That ain't what I'm saying. Far from it. Please don't get that twisted. That's not what I'm saying. Look at this. Jesus is letting us know, don't worry about this stuff. Watch. Here's the kicker. He says, so don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? Okay, so in the kingdom, that means, listen to this now. So in the kingdom, there are things that you shouldn't be concerned about.
No.
We're not going to rush past this. Okay, not that you shouldn't have been concerned before. But it's because of where you are now. Okay, watch this. Before, you spent your time trying to get those things. Now they'll be added. So I want to make sure you get what I'm saying, because I don't want you saying, Pastor, I don't believe in having no clothes. Look what his stuff is. He don't really have no shoes. Look at him, he got on. See, that ain't what I'm saying. Now to be added. Before, it was your motivation. Before, it was your thing. What about now letting the king add them? All right, watch this. So here's the basis. We are in Jesus' kingdom now, so we don't need to worry about it because the king is responsible. Okay, Dr. Hall, how concerned is Lena about the amount of food in your refrigerator? You mean that Lena don't sit down and discuss with you all the house payment? Okay, watch this. So she is in the hall kingdom and is not concerned about what's happening in the kingdom because it's not her responsibility. See, we keep acting like we orphans. You act like, I mean, you act like God don't, he ain't concerned. He don't know. He don't care. See, when you came into the kingdom, now it's not your responsibility. See, you've never had a king like this. My kids, I remember one time my kids said to me, me and my wife was talking. We was talking about something, and I was taking them somewhere or something. And we said, "Well, I don't know if we said we don't have no money." Now they were like, "We don't have no money."
We told them they couldn't have something, and they said, "Don't tell me we're running out of money."
Because they were never. I mean, they never looked to see. Well, can I see the bank statement? Can I know where we at? They never. It was not their responsibility. It was ours. So now, as children of the King, it's not our responsibility, it's God's. But, well, let me keep going so we'll understand all of this. I think you're starting to get it now. Look at verse 32. So here's Jesus still talking. He says, these things, all of that other stuff up there, these things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. So now wait a minute. So our thoughts should not be consumed with the same thing that unbelievers' thoughts are consumed with. Because I'm not in the same kingdom. I'm trying to make this as plain as possible. We're acting like that salvation should only make a difference when you go to heaven. I'm saying to you, in the kingdom of God, it makes a difference right here, right now. We love to say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, he's trying to get it done in you now on how you're thinking. Why are you worrying about stuff? Why are you stressed out? I thought you was in a new kingdom. And in this kingdom, you don't have to worry because the King is responsible. I ain't saying that you don't go to work. Go to work. Go to work. Well, they're cutting everybody hours. Go ahead. Go to work. God don't need the hours to take care of you. Everybody wondering, are this going to be a layoff? What are we going to do? What's going to happen? You don't have to worry. You're in a different kingdom. That's the way this works. So now people should be able to notice, why are you not concerned like that? Everybody else stressing and stuff, nervous and all that. Why are you not like that? Now you get an open door to talk about righteousness. See, this is the way we live this. This is the way we seek the righteousness of God. Oh, let me get back. Okay. So, our thoughts shouldn't be consumed with the same things as unbelievers. Honestly, here's the thing. Do we trust him to look out for us so we don't have to be consumed with ourselves? Notice what I said. Do we trust him to look out for us so we don't have to be consumed with ourselves? Some of us, well, okay, what about my retirement? Man, I'm in my 50s now, or I'm 45. Where did that come from? Okay, the kingdom has been here before you got here. It's going to be here. And here's my thing. My mom is, you all know my mom has been here. We've been having some wonderful conversations. I'm sitting here now. We were talking about my grandfathers. I was pretty close to all of my grandfathers. And, not one of them I could think of retired. My one grandfather, 110 years old, at least. At least. Okay, now, who in here has enough retirement for 110 years? And this man, we're trying to figure out, what did he do? What was his occupation? What we do know, he was born a slave. The man lives 110 years old and don't have a retirement fund. But here we are, stressing. I'm going to eat beans and rice for the next 6 years so I can retire. What is that? I mean, what? These are the things that are stressing us out. What about being in the kingdom and living as unto the Lord? God, you got this. I'm not saying you shouldn't have a retirement account, but why are these things stressing us? It's the dominant thing in your life. You move, it's influencing you more than God. Some of us, if God said, listen, I want you to take and sow from your retirement. That can't be God. Get thee behind me, Satan. Because we couldn't. So now all of a sudden, we've created an idol. And now God's going to destroy that idol. Everything you've been trying to retire with. See, if you're in a new kingdom, it requires a different perspective. Verse 33, seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. Look at your life. It's got to be something that God has just brought into your life. I mean, you wasn't trying. It just, boom, happened. I mean, it ain't my plan. It wasn't what I was looking at. It was, boom, it happened. Not even a concern. He says, put your effort into pursuing the kingdom. How much effort are we putting into pursuing God's kingdom, his rule, his reign, his realm of authority over our lives? And then he says, everything that we need will be provided. I mean, okay, Jackie, you left New Jersey, came down here. I know you know, you got your sister down here, you got your nephew. I mean, so you up, you and Jackson, y'all just boom. Okay, what are we going to do? We don't know nobody but them. What has God provided? Look like you always been here, Jackie. Look like you, I mean, like furniture in a room, you just move you around, you know? But we have to understand, if we trust God, he'll take care. It's already mapped out. We just need to be obedient. Or you could have stayed in New Jersey stressing. I don't know. Where I'm going to go? What I'm going to do? I don't know. Freezing, shoveling snow and all of that stuff there. I don't know. I'm just staying in New Jersey. It's the only safe place in the world. God ain't going. But now look, you're able to live and you ain't. I mean, it's not. I mean, y'all look at Jackie. Look like she's doing all right. When we get in his kingdom, you can live like that. You can live stress-free, not worrying about the other things that's dominating other people's lives. Well, did you see now? We're about to go into another Cuban Missile Crisis. It looked like Russia's going to be. Okay, so what? Let them build as many missiles as they're going to build. That ain't going to change the plan of God. We just stress over stuff. Okay. So, I'm just saying, live like we trust him. I mean, I don't want to say I'm saved and act like I don't trust God. Because if you can't say, okay, let's just be honest. If you can't trust him living here, how are you going to trust him to raise you up from the dead? I mean, when you literally have no ability, he's the one that's going to raise you from the dead. If you can't trust him now to take care of you past retirement, you know, pay your mortgage or whatever we're dealing with, whatever we're stressing over, I'm just saying, Lord, let help me to step back and go like, whoa, 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 this ain't worth that. Because when in my ignorance, God has taken care of me. Surely now, having a knowledge and an understanding of who he is. Yeah, thank you. I mean, you do know even while you were unsaved, he took care of you. You do know that. Yes. I mean, let's not get this twisted. He rains on the just as well as the unjust. It was raining on your farm even when you was unsaved. So God's still taking care of you in your unsaved state because he loved you that much, waiting on you to realize it's all about him and not about you. Verse 34, and I'm done. So don't worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. And some of us sit around thinking about the next thing. It's hard for some of us to give God praise for what he has done because we're concerned about what needs to be done. I want you just for a moment before we close out. I want you to think about what has God done in your life? Think about testimonies, your testimony, yours, not mine, not somebody else, yours. What did God bring you out of that you thought you wasn't going to be out of? What did God do for you that you were sitting there, you going, oh God, oh God. I mean, that thing that you rolled over and over and over and dealt with and all of that, and now look at you. Look like you ain't even been through it. Al, I remember when I first got to know you and what was going on in your life then, and it looked like you ain't even been through nothing. But we get to thinking about the next thing. Oh, God, Lord, do it for me. Here's my last scripture for you. Hebrews 13 and 8, King James. I'll let you read this so you can be with me. Hebrews 13 and 8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. If he did it for you yesterday, he's the same today and forever. That means to me, if he's done it already, not just for me, he could have did it for you, and I'm coming to a situation where I need to realize that he can do it for me, and I can realize that because he did it for you. Because the Bible says these things were written for our examples. So it ain't just the things he done for me yesterday, it's the things he done for us yesterday. So now I don't have to worry about my present, because he did it yesterday. Don't have to worry about my future, because he did it yesterday and he's handling it presently. When we get to the point where we can trust the king like that, that's righteousness. That's rightness, or rightly relating with the king now. See, that's really seeking the righteousness of God. Now we rightly relate with God. All of the drama that's going on in life, all of the things that's happening, that's going to continue to happen. Jesus said that. But he also said, listen, I need you to lose your life so that you find it. I need you not to be tied up in all of that other stuff that's dominating the thoughts of sinners. I don't expect that from you. You know how we look at our kids and say, I expect better from you? Yes. Know what God is saying? I expect better from you. Because you mine. You belong to me. They over there in that kingdom, but you in mine. And he expects better from his kids.